Stanislav, I wanted to ask one more question, and this whole situation with Epstein's Island. Am I right that similar things happened in America before? There was no internet before, the world was less transparent, but these kinds of stories go back centuries. Apparently, they come from Britain, from 100 years ago, even back to Tudor times. What do all these Epstein-like island scandals mean for the West?
You could even say, some people say, ballet was an early form of pornography. They dressed men to make the male crotch look pronounced in those tight outfits. That came from the Western elite as a form of light pornography of those times. Yes, you could say that kind of thing certainly existed. It is nothing new, not the first time. It is just more open now. But you have to understand, this is a little different. First, a bit about Epstein's Island, then we will talk about Epstein himself. What does Epstein's Island mean? That is what was exposed. But you need to get the message. If this had happened 100 years ago, there would have been a revolution in America. In any European country, there would have been a revolution if it were openly known that the elite were Satanists, people who raped and killed, and possibly, if you believe even 10% of witness accounts, according to those witnesses, they even ate children. That is cannibalism. That would have been a revolution. In any country, because of strict Christian roots, no population would have tolerated that. Revolutions and uprisings happened over much less than this. The worst thing for any king, and for our emperors too, was to be excluded from the church. The church would come and expel them. You are no longer part of the church. You would completely lose the legitimacy to rule. That was the greatest fear for any ruler. And now they openly promote Satanism. You also need to understand one more point. For example, when Trump put out images portraying himself as Christ, and when he went after the Pope, everyone was looking at that bird. There, look at the bird. What happened over there? Boucher, the new Attorney General of America, who oversees the prosecution's office, gave an interview and said bluntly, "We unsealed all the documents," which is false. They have over 2 million documents, and the documents they did unseal had all the criminals' names redacted, and openly the victims' names as well. Exactly the opposite of what the law required of them. That was done to pressure the victims into shutting up, to make them leave, or to drive them to kill themselves out of shame for being victims. Many families of those victims knew nothing about it, or simply would not accept it. So they exposed the victims and covered up the perpetrators. And what did he say? First thing, we unsealed everything. Again, that is the primary lie. We see no basis for criminal charges. There is no crime here, he said. The whole case is closed. That's it. This is the satanic elite directly telling the people, pardon my language, we do not give a damn about you. We will do whatever we want with your children, and you cannot do anything about it. You are powerless. This is direct open mockery of the people. Basically, we are the all-powerful elite. Everything is in our hands, and you can do nothing. Pay taxes, obey orders. End of discussion. Move along. You are dismissed. That is what the elite told the whole world. There is not just one Epstein. There are multiple people in that role. I remember a case 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a bit more, in Arizona. The local police were involved. and the federal police did not care. Some 300,000 plus missing children in America, that's an open issue. And no one, they do not care. And only God knows how many more children are being brought in illegally. Mel Gibson financed the film Sound of Freedom. About the real story to the FSB agents? No, not the Federal Security Service, I mean the Federal Bureau of Investigation agents, who the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation resigned, went to Colombia and found a partner there, a former mobster who was also trying to atone for his sins. They started a hunt. At first, they were searching for the sister of a boy who had been taken from the street and shipped to America. This happens all the time. Small children, attractive children, get stolen and taken to America. No major theater chain picked up the film. Instead, critics attacked it. He financed it entirely out of his own pocket. The film only found its way into small independent theaters run by private owners. Hollywood absolutely refused to touch it. Why? Because it hits too close to home. Because they are involved in it. Those children then disappear. Nothing is left of them. So local authorities in Arizona found a ranch where there were 180 children. These were children the pedophiles had kept and abused. When they were done, they handed them over and effectively rented other children. I remember the local sheriff saying, "If there is one, there are others. The federal authorities are blocking our work." And there are many such cases. That kind of elite exists. Now let's talk about what Epstein was. He was a man with his fingers in every business. He was not just an agent of Mossad. Mossad, the Central Intelligence Agency. The British Secret Intelligence Service. They are like three heads of one three-headed dragon. Those are the three heads. At the end of the day, it is all the same body. According to those very documents, he negotiated between Israel and Morocco, Israel and Mongolia, Israel and the Ivory Coast. He ran around as a diplomat, tried to contact Lavrov to get to Putin, even arranged meetings with oligarchs about how to move the Russian state. He was involved in everything. He was not just running prostitution rings and bringing in children. He was a connected man, who he was, and where he came from. He was not someone who suddenly became a billionaire and then started doing all this. Obviously, bigger people and even states stood behind him. So you have to look deeper, and the fact they did not edit that, I think, hits even harder when you realize who you are dealing with. This is not just child prostitution and disposing of bodies. When they were arresting him, he had ordered 2,000 kilograms of acid to his island. Yeah.
To clean the pipes, apparently. They needed to clean everything out. Yes, to dissolve the remains. Part of his house opened through the floor. There was a door that led straight out over the sea. So it was a good place to dump things. That is the kind of people we are talking about. But he was connected to absolutely everyone. Not just through prostitution, not just through those children, but politically, diplomatically, and economically as well. Before he rose, his specialty was laundering money and evading taxes for big oligarchs. So those are the kind of people. This gives a glimpse of who runs the West.
Yes, we have been discussing these problems, and I want to say that the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender movement is banned as an extremist organization in Russia. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Stanislav, when we talk, I am not even speaking about Western elites in general, but specifically about American elites. Am I right that elites in the American sense are something different compared to what exists in, say Germany, France, or even the United Kingdom. In the West, there is a synthesis. You mentioned Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, BlackRock, I think everyone names them now. These are the largest transnational corporations based in the United States, or at least partly based there. There is a very wealthy financial speculative capital. We are talking, as I understand it, about trillions of dollars.
Many trillions of dollars. Many trillions. $11 trillion, I believe, just in BlackRock.
The United States is home to the headquarters of the structures we just named and others, about 10 to 15 of these largest transnational corporations that handle tens of trillions of dollars. Yes, a lot. Furthermore, but that is not all. Compared to them, I understand Trump is basically a small-time player. Well, he has also been involved in financial speculation his whole life. So, how much does he have? Hundreds of millions of dollars. As president, he is involved in that and has made certain statements. Sometimes stock prices fall, sometimes they rise. Take Bitcoin, for example. He profits from that. His people are involved in it. But to those big players, he is small fry. By the way, he has been a showman his whole life. American elites, as I understand it, are that financial speculative capital. They are representatives of the show industry, show business, and that includes Hollywood, right? Strangely enough.
I would not call Trump a small-time player. Initially, long before he became president, he had already been a billionaire for a long time. Yes, he may have had $5 or $6 billion, but he was a billionaire. He moved in those circles repeatedly. But if you owe a bank billions, who owns the bank? Are you or the bank the owner of your own fate? Because it is very hard for any bank to write off that kind of money. When he was president-elect, but not yet president, he issued a cryptocurrency, a Trump coin. And right on the day of his inauguration, Melania issued the Melania coin. To be clear, it was not, as they put it, an investment coin. Buy it, they said. We are one big family. They bought up about $30 billion worth, which they then converted and funneled into real money. The price of that coin has now fallen 97% from its peak. He made $30 billion from that, with his market play, handled by the investors and bankers he hired. I do not even know how many family members he has. They are all billionaires. Let United States not forget that. Just him. More than 3,000 market transactions. He admitted that. An additional $4 billion. He is not a small-time player. This is a man with a net worth of around $40 to $50 billion. And is growing very fast because of that. I am not even counting his sons or his daughters. This is just him. He is not a small-time player. He is not a millionaire. He is one of those billionaires in the same billionaire class. And regarding the European elite, you have to understand there is no separate European elite here. What exists is an elite created by the Americans. Americans. I have about 5 minutes. I just need to make 6 calls. But to understand, from 1948 until the 1990s, the Americans held power over Europe, not only Western Europe, through the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and even over neutral countries via Operation Gladio. Starting with the Nazis, who at first created partisan detachments, they moved those partisan units everywhere. But using those partisan units, made up of local irregulars, who held real loyalty to Washington, to carry out political terror in those various countries. And not only against the left, they also used them against the right. So the right would fight the left, and they could control it. When de Gaulle began negotiating with the French settlers in Algeria to let them go, because he understood they would start coming to France, reproduce 3 times faster than the French, and swamp United States all. We did not need them. Some officers rebelled, seized power in Algeria, and tried to destroy de Gaulle and his family, with help from hardline supporters. Yes, they tried to shoot him and his whole family. De Gaulle was a military man. He took it very seriously, understood everything, wiped them all off the face of the earth, and expelled the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Moved the North Atlantic Treaty Organization to Belgium, not Paris, where it had originally been based. He gave them 1 month to get out of France, and pulled France completely out of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. End of state. Just as no, Cernan.
France only fully returned to the North Atlantic Treaty Organization under Sarkozy. How long ago? Less than 20 years ago. So yes, that is how it was. And the Americans actually carried out a color revolution against him. A completely thorough color revolution. And they removed de Gaulle from power. Whatever people called him politically, he was in fact a thoroughly right-wing man, and they also tried to kill him and his entire family. That is how the Americans held power. Well, at the same time, because you cannot keep power like that forever, at the same time, they were raising a new generation. And Merkel, who was in East Germany, was one of those who showed up at the conferences. There are photos of her with Tari Somai. They are young, in various Soros camps. That is how she got in. Apparently, through another elite inside East Germany, who were also partly traitorous. And they raised up that whole bunch that now holds power. They are all tied to American corporations. They operated in the United States of America. And when von der Leyen, who worked in the United States of America, says she feels as much at home there as in Germany, the one who made a deal with Trump to flee to the United States of America when her term ends. There is a very political case against her, an open billion-euro case, that she and her husband stole on vaccines and on contracts she signed illegally. Well, what can you say? These people do what is required of them. Frankly, if you look at them honestly, they hate their own people. They simply hate their own people. They destroy them and replace them. And here you have to understand how quickly this whole system works. I will be releasing this video as I go. There is a very simple move here. And we will have the same effect. Do not smirk about it. The same will happen to United States. Look, the 1950s, the 1960s, the United States of America was, of course, in a good position after the Second World War. But there was a moment in the United States of America, and it was the right time. The average family, and in the Soviet Union it was somewhat similar, lived on the salary of one person, one husband. The husband worked, the wife stayed at home, there were a lot of children, and they lived as middle class. If you wanted a new car, you did not need loans. You saved from an average salary for half a year and bought a new car with cash. Houses cost about 2 years' salary, a typical house. You could pay that off in 5 years, easily. People bought and ate meat normally. Everything was within reach. Why? Because, and of course, the American economy was in that position. That was a big advantage, because the rest of the world was still catching up. But mainly because wages were high. Rockefeller and others openly said they promoted feminism. They promoted feminism because once they convinced women that having children is awful, raising a family is awful, working in a factory or in an office where everyone hates each other, in that grayness, and where you will be thrown out at 55 or 60, maybe even forgotten before that. That was the best thing you could do in your life, they said. And the man? What the hell, family? Fuck anything that moves. That is much better. That is how it was. They broke up families, persuaded women to enter the workforce. He himself admitted that he had specifically asked for this, because the labor force doubled. Well, almost doubled. Wages fell. That was it. Now I can pay much lower wages for the same work. People are now much poorer. It is hard to raise children when both husband and wife work. The number of children is falling. And you want a car? Prices still go up, and wages go down. Loans, folks, everything is bought on credit.
We make even more money from this, like a bank. We could not give car loans before. Nobody would take them. Why would I need a loan? I would save for 5 months and have a new car. Now I take a loan and pay for this new car for 4 years, while it loses 20% of its value the moment I sign the contract. I mean, to sell it back. And that is how it is. But what is the problem? This only affects one generation. The second generation becomes much smaller, because there are no children. What does that mean? Wages start to rise again. What step should we take now? We bring in a huge number of people from other countries to work. You start at the bottom, although when you can, you bring in engineers and scientists. But most of those you bring are ordinary working people, laborers. They will work in factories, on farms, and so on. But what is the problem? What is the problem? The average person who grew up in a village, who has lived there all his life and can feed his family, does not want to leave that village. So what do you do to motivate him to leave the village? Let United States start a war there. A civil war. That is the best. A civil war. A divided people. We drain their resources and create a huge workforce that is hungry and ready to come work for United States like modern slaves and replace our population, which we have already convinced not to reproduce. This is how the cycle we all live in begins. We see the same thing in Russia. When people say, "I saw this in America," they suddenly say, "Oh, these are jobs Americans will not do. They are too low for them." Do we not hear that in Russia? We definitely hear it in Russia. It is the same type of people. There is no job a Russian person would not do. There is work he cannot do, because the wage is so low, he cannot survive on it. When you bring in temporary workers who will cram 20 people into one room and send their earnings abroad, they are ready to work like modern slaves. And at the same time, it hurts the economy, because there is the concept of how fast money circulates. Or rather, you work for me, at the factory I give you money, you turn it around and spend it, buying bread or a couch. That money goes to the shop, which pays its workers, who then go and buy bread or a car. It goes to my factory. And so the money keeps circulating in the economy. When workers come from another country, where does that money go? Not in this economy. All the money goes abroad, to someone else's economy, feeding someone else's economy. And that is a loss for society as a whole. And these big factories, corporations, oligarchs, they offload the social costs. When everyone gets poorer, crime rises, prices spiral out of control, the economy and social fabric collapse. They dump all those costs onto the state, whose tax revenues fall because wages are low and people do not buy anything. What value-added tax is there when people have no money to spend? Minjin, is there... Derizer, this is a system that starts feeding itself by destroying itself. In a couple of generations, a rich country becomes absolute poverty, rubble, and civil war. Mixing radically different cultures is extremely, extremely difficult. It can work only when outsiders come in tiny groups you can assimilate. When you pour them in by the millions, they never assimilate, they turn into ghettos, which later turn into uprisings, against the same people. What we see in England, what we see in Belgium, what we see in Ireland, that is what will happen to United States too if we do not control it. They brought in 500,000 Indians. Yeah, maybe they are relatively calm. But it is still a different culture. Even if genetically, they are Slavs actually. We even share the same haplogroup, interestingly. R1A. Indians also have R1A. Still, culturally, we are very different. If you bring in 20 or 30,000 Indians a year, they will assimilate. Just like if you bring 30 or 40,000 Russians to India. They will assimilate. But if you bring 30 million Russians, they will create a Russian country inside India. And nobody there will tolerate that. If we do the same to ourselves, the same will happen here. It is human nature. So, if we do not control it, it will destroy United States from within. just as it is destroying the entire West. Well, better to learn and somehow control it. In Ukraine, they have brought in 500,000 Indians now. They say even Pakistanis and Bangladeshis. There have even been photos released showing them working with TCK. Yes, and advertisements in India on huge billboards saying, "Come to Ukraine, start a family for the future." And a Ukrainian girl stands there, a pretty girl. What does that mean? And publicly they say they want to bring 9 million of them. They want to increase the population by 50% compared to now. Well, that is destruction, the destruction of any existing culture there. The same thing happened when Merkel brought in 1 million men, because almost all of them were men, 90% were young men, and the riots began. In Cologne that New Year, they raped more than 1,000 women, and they told the police chief to erase all the video. And he said, no way, and he went public with it, because damn, women were being raped left and right. By the crowds of migrants that Merkel had just brought in. No society can survive like that. And we also need to learn to look at this. I am not against immigration in small numbers of the right people. But you need the right people in amounts we can absorb and assimilate. Engineers, doctors, those are the people we need. There is no country that can have too many smart people. Brains are always needed. But a bunch of people who can only work with their hands, and even then without any skills, to dig holes. We already have plenty of those ourselves. We do not need to look far for them. We already have plenty of people here who can only dig holes. Let's start using our own, bringing in huge numbers from a completely different culture that do not want to assimilate into our shared culture. Well, our core is Russian culture, of course, but we have many other cultures as well. If you talk to Dagestanis and others, they do not want all those people either. Even if they are Sunnis themselves, they will say bluntly that these people are barbarians. This is not our culture, because they have their own culture too. It is partially mixed with Russian culture. What if you bring in foreigners who want to impose their own order? No one likes that. That's Iskins. If we do not handle this very carefully, we will end up on the same edge of civil war that turns into actual civil war, like in parts of Europe. And we also have an enemy that wants to wipe United States off the face of the earth. That is precisely what he wants. Why did the British Secret Intelligence Service recruit Tajiks in Crack City to accelerate it even faster? They did it deliberately, picking from among all the peoples they could choose. They picked those who come here to work. They found them, recruited them, and sent them off. They did it intentionally. They could have taken, say, a Russian guy, or a Russian of Korean descent, or a Tatar, or someone like that. Well, they know how to stir up society, and they always operate that way. If we give them fertile ground for this, they will destroy United States even faster. We need to be realistic. The West should serve as the perfect example of what not to do, not something to emulate. Again, I am not against migration, but it should be the right kind of migration under the control of the right people. We must decide what we need. We do not have enough doctors. Okay, what kind of doctors? Go find those doctors. Educated people will assimilate much faster, because that is always the case. We need more physics professors. Let United States both train new physics professors and bring in others from abroad. People like that, yes, exactly. A huge mass of people who can only do manual labor and not even skilled factory work, just digging holes. We do not need that. We already had enough of those in the Soviet Union.
Stanislav, thanks a lot for being on the show.
My pleasure.